Vidam panditamānagya.
Vidam panditamānagya.
Staptosties madupekshaya.
Staptosties madupekshaya.
Machasanati gauyastvam.
Machasanati gauyastvam.
Achirat brashyase shriyaha.
Achirat brashyase shriyaha.
Ladies.
Tridam pandita manyagya.
Tridam pandita manyagya.
Satosya smadupekshaya.
Satosya smadupekshaya.
Machasanati goyasvam.
Machasanati goyasvam.
Achirat brashyase shriya.
Achirat brashyase shriya.
Dridham.
Dridham.
So firmly convinced.
So firmly convinced.
Or fixed in your decision.
Or fixed in your decision.
Panditamani.
Panditamani.
Considering yourself very learned.
Considering yourself very learned.
Agya.
Agya.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Foolish.
Foolish.
Stattha.
Stattha.
Impudent.
Impudent.
Asi.
Asi.
You have become.
Asmat,
asmat, avas, upekshaya,
upekshaya,
by disregarding,
by disregarding,
matshashana atiga,
matshashana atiga,
surpassing the jurisdiction of my administration,
surpassing the jurisdiction of my administration,
ya,
such a person
as
you,
tvam,
tvam,
yourself,
yourself,
achirat,
achirat,
very soon,
very soon,
brush
yourself,
will fall down,
will fall down,
shriya,
shriya,
from all opulence,
from all opulence.
Although you. Very interesting, very rare thing that we're reading. Although you have no knowledge, you have become so-called learned person, and therefore you dare to be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. Although you have no knowledge,
although you have no knowledge,
you have become so-called learned person.
You have become so-called learned person.
And therefore you dare to be so impudent.
And therefore you dare to be so impudent.
As to disobey my order.
As to disobey my order.
Because of disobeying me.
Because of disobeying me.
You shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence.
You shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence.
Om Gyana Timyanasya Gyana Vyashakaya
Chachur Megamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Paramahamsa
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
curse. Shukracharya just cursed his disciple. That's why I say it's quite rare. It's not something that you read about very often. And although, it is something that we do read about. Brahmanas cursing others, the guru cursing the disciple, is much less. And so it's noteworthy to follow this short purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bali Maharaj was not a panditamani or one who falsely assumes himself learned, rather he was a panditamanyagya, one who is so learned that all of the learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Anyone cared for Balava Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karma Kanda. In other words, if a devotee becomes very opulent, it is to be understood that his opulence is a gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence will never be vanquished, whereas the opulence achieved by one's fruit of activity may be vanquished at any moment. Being cursed by the spiritual master is a rare thing. Disobeying the spiritual master, well, it's not so rare. And if every time the guru curses his disciple, when he's disobeyed, then that would be not so good. But here the conditions also should be understood. Srila Prabhupada, here the curse is the following: you disobeyed me, so you lose all your material opulence. That's one consequence, that's the better consequence of being cursed. The other is that you lose your spiritual life, which may happen anyway, whether you're cursed or not. Srila Prabhupada, at least to public knowledge, only cursed one disciple, and that was a disciple who went and took initiation from Radhakant Babaji, and cursed him never have a bona fide guru in 100 lifetimes. It came in the course of a discussion, not immediately, because Prabhupada had heard that. But he was he was hurt, because it was actually his Sanskrit editor. And that was, Prabhupada considered to be one of the risks of studying Sanskrit, that you start to think that you know more than your guru. And so he took initiation from reinitiation from Babaji. That person is now a professor at the university, teaches Gaudiya Vaishnavism and things like that, Chicago University. But he informed Prabhupada by letter and asked him for blessings. Asked him for blessings to be able to follow his bona fide guru. So, sometime later, when Prabhupada repeated that, he's asking me to be blessed in the bona fide guru. So he said, no, bless him, but he won't find a bona fide guru in 100 lifetimes. So it's rare. And how much Prabhupada meant it was something else. Prabhupada didn't say it in the heat of the moment. He didn't say it because he was angry. He was just more cursed, and it was more a humorous thing, obviously not very funny to his disciples who were Prabhupada. And that was the only example. It may be that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cursed one of his leading disciples, who then did many years of austerity and penance as a result, and whom Srila Prabhupada had strong words about. But Here we're not talking about a Vaishnava guru. Here you're not really actually even talking about a spiritual master. Here is someone who's into karma kanda. He's a materialistic guru. Why would he be the guru of the demons to start with? Because he's getting some material benefit from their very strict worship and the accommodations that they give. And Sukhacharya comes up later on, right? Maharaj Yajnati is in Canto 9. Yeah. So he also comes up later on, cursing again. Cursing this time Maharaj Yajnati, his disciple or not, he's the king. So he gets cursed. And so he's sort of in a different league. And in one sense you could say disobeying him is not such a big thing. Disobeying one's spiritual master, now I return to Vaishnava's spiritual master, is more of a big thing. Here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he's Pandita Manyavya. Yes. Bali Maharaj, and then of course on the other side is Bali Maharaj's stature. So one side is Sukhacharya, the other side is the disciple. In this case, actually, the disciple is more advanced spiritually. He has the spiritual power that he can actually disobey the guru. Technically, that could also happen with someone who has a Vaishnava spiritual master or a real spiritual master, if he's also more advanced. It may be a rare occasion, but it also happens that sometimes the disciple is more advanced than the spiritual master. But because the spiritual master is not just a person, he's also the holder of a post. Therefore, to disobey him as a person means that you may also be disobeying the post, but for the purpose of that. Like, for instance, when Indra threw his Vajra at Garuda. So, Indra's like a mouse compared to Garuda, and it would technically do nothing, just fall off him. But Garuda was respectful of Indra, well, he's the king of heaven. If his throwing the Vajra does nothing, it won't look good. So then he brought one of his wings. And that way Indra's respect, self-esteem is sort of kept intact. Even though we have many examples of how Indra really steps out of line. So the disciple may be more learned if that is actually the case and he knows better, and if it's really something of import, then he may disobey the guru. But once again, that's rare. So guru ravya viliptasya karya karya majanata utpata pratipanasya. When the disciple judges, I am getting a wrong instruction, and this, and particularly here, the contrast is, here is God telling me to do something, and here's the guru telling me. So if it's just something that I think is wrong, that may not be so important. But when Krishna is standing on one side, then you do what Krishna says. And so Bhagavan Maharaj was like that. He was a Mahajan. He was in that category. And yet he lost everything. So the curse stayed intact. From the material point of view, he was a loser. From the spiritual point of view, he was a winner. Because he got the Lord's darshan, he got the Lord's permanent association, then he was recognized as a person that, as we will see, he gives Atmani Vietnam. He just gives everything. So he gives everything to Krishna. He's willing to give his kingdom and the universe up and down and his whole body. He doesn't hold back anything. But it's a very delicate situation. All right, so I think my guru told me something wrong. Should I follow him or not? Yeah, the answer is yes. This is an exception, and the qualifications have to be there. Krishna has to be telling you, no, don't do that. So either he's beside you or he's inside you, but he should be telling, no, it's not the right thing to do. And then one has to judge, and is it really something that's that important, or so Krishna's telling this is not the right thing, but it still doesn't mean that I don't follow it, even though it may not be the right thing. And so yes, generally, therefore, our prescription is yasya prasada, bhagavad prasada, whatever the spiritual master says you do. And the Shastra is replete with so many instructions where the disciple does that. Yeah, although it's sometimes may not be beneficial, it may not be the right thing, it may contrary in dharma, but out of respect does it, and he may have to suffer consequences and from one perspective, but out of respect for the post, out of respect for the position, then one may actually be blessed by Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami, when he finally got the chance to run away from home, he met his guru, who was actually coming to meet him, Yadunandana Acharya. And seems like the same problem in those times. The pujari wasn't there. He left. He wasn't there to wake up the day. He said, in the morning. So Yadunandana Acharya told him, you please do it or find someone to do it. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't do it. He thought, this is my opportunity to leave home. Finally, the guards were asleep. So the last thing he was going to do was get entangled in a situation where he wasn't going to be able to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he left. Now, Yadunandana Acharya is a great devotee. He's a disciple of Advaita Acharya, and Raghunath Das Goswami offers his obeisances to him in many places. So in this case, he knew, well, he will understand. In other words, the guru doesn't necessarily know what's the alternative. But still, I have that conviction that even if I don't do what he says, still, once he does, I will understand. And of course, there's no record of Yadunandana Acharya being angry at Raghunath Das Goswami or anything. Who the pujari was that they found, we don't know. But you can see, 500 years ago, there was a shortage of pujaris. Seems like the standard thing. It's not the Yuga Dharma. So people aren't inclined to do it. Brahmins aren't inclined to do it. This is in the previous age that esprit de corps, esprit de corps, well, it doesn't exactly mean that, but it's that inspiration, that natural tendency, the spadharma, to worship deities was very strong in people. Now, it's very rare that you can get someone, you'd be a pujari for life. No, crazy, I can't keep doing the same thing. It happens. crazy serving God. Serving Krishna, and I'm going crazy serving him. Anyway, so Raghunath Das Goswami, that circumstance is a little different. Here you're disobeying, but not in contradiction to what the Guru actually says. He doesn't say, don't do that, do this. He doesn't know what the that is. He just said, well, just do this. I said, no, I think I have something more important. And he will understand once he knows. So this is another level where such a thing may happen. But then who's Raghunath Das Goswami? He's no ordinary disciple. So he's also like this, Pandita Manya Vidya. So he's also a person to whom all other pundits go. So it's a very important part of the Bhagavatam, because it does teach a certain element of bhakti that devotees must know, but it's a real two-edged sword. You use this wrong, you're finished. So it's something that's very rarely used. Therefore it's here in the eighth canto. By this time, everyone should be self-realized. And they should have, or at least they should be learned enough to know when something is dangerous. I mean, it's like children. You don't let children play fire with fire on their own. When you become an adult, then you learn how to turn on the gas or start the fire. Otherwise, you just burn the house down. And there are many examples of that. You give a very powerful thing, dangerous thing, in the hands of a foolish person, an unqualified person, an immature person, and the consequences will be very, very severe. But still it's there. And as I mentioned the other day, that even in our Krishna consciousness movement, devotees have sort of had to be in this situation. Actually, even then, I'm trying to think, even when the spiritual master becomes fallen, it's not immediately that devotees sort of abandon them, but rather under the guidance of the institution, then they sort of leave him. And we should take note that Shukracharya here also has become fallen. So, Guru Karya Karyam Ajanata Utpata. Don't follow Krishna. When your Guru tells you don't follow God, then there's something really wrong. It's very explicit though. So it's very clear. Here he is, and he's admitted. Don't surrender to his dwarf. He's not a dwarf. This is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, and you're telling me not to surrender to Lord Vishnu. So he's admitted it. It's not a secret. So he therefore loses his qualification to be any kind of guru, even a karmakanda guru, because karmakanda only works when you recognize guru as supreme. There's Vishnu as supreme. And as soon as there's no touch of bhakti, and as soon as there's no regard for Lord Vishnu, then karmakanda, like anything else, yoga, karma, jnana, none of these things work without devotion. So, for instance, that's why our Bhakti College, a yoga master, is so different from other yoga schools, because all those yoga is useless. Because there's no connection with Krishna, there's no bhakti. And this is one of the principles of Bhagavad Gita. And talking about Vishwanath Chakravarti, if you read his commentaries, you're like, Srila Prabhupada talks about you're not this body, and on every purport is a very important thing, because culturally and historically we're in a situation where we need to really hear that and try to apply it. During Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's time, cultural, historical need was there that there are yogis and gyanis and karmakandis and all different mixes of all of these people. They need to know that unless you're connected in some way or another to bhakti yoga, bhaktyaha mam abhijanati, you not only do you not know Krishna, your Ashtanga yoga, your philosophical speculation, your sacrifices get nowhere. You get nothing. So that's how Bhagavatam starts off. The sages say, we've been doing this sacrifice, and the only thing that we've gotten is the smoke that we're inhaling. Otherwise, it's useless. So tell us, what should we do? Vyasadeva also said, well, I wrote all these books, but there's something wrong, because I'm not satisfied. And Narada Muni said, yes, Parashiva Mahabhava, yeah, of course there's something, because you're not glorifying Krishna. You're not including, you're not making bhakti yoga very explicit. It's implicit, but in Kali Yuga, anything that's implicit is lost. Unless it's explicitly stated, forget it. No one, very rare people are going to actually be able to understand things. So it's especially sometimes in writing, I refer to Vedanta Sutra. It's incomprehensible. I can't figure out how people sit there and, you know, out of some sutra they understand something. You've really got to be smart, and you've got to be learned, and you've got to have a lot of blessings in order to understand those statements. I mean, Atato Brahma Jignasa is like, that's like really explicit by comparison to some other things that are there. So yes, bhakti needs to be there. And we're talking about karma kanda. So he's going to lose even the benefits of karma kanda. But still, Bali Maharaj will accept. All right, he's guru. He's a superior. I'll lose my influence, and he did. Bali, Lord Vamadev took everything away from him. So there are some things that we should know about, but we should be very careful. So it's like fire. Be really careful how you deal with fire, because you'll get burned. So this is, in one sense, even more dangerous thing than fire, because, you know, you can cook with fire. This is a much rarer utility, and the circumstances will rarely come up, but they will come up when we're in a world where preaching is so essential, the gurus can be conditioned souls. It's a dangerous thing, because a conditioned soul has the tendency to make mistakes. So it may make mistakes. And doesn't mean that every time a guru makes mistakes, okay, now I reject them. So it has to, and that's the balance. You know, ideally, the guru should be an eternal associate of Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada says. So he should be coming from the spiritual world. But that's, you know, we have a good idea, and we have faith that that's Srila Prabhupada's position, but not necessarily the position of all of Prabhupada's disciples, grand disciples, others. In fact, it shouldn't be something that's a given, which I think is part of the bhakti course, is that just because someone's a guru, that doesn't mean they came from from the spiritual world. And, so Prabhupada says, it's the responsibility of disciples to carefully select the spiritual master, because at least they should select someone who's done an uttama adhikari. In which case, an adhikari is used in two ways. One is that he has the best qualification for perfection, pure devotional service, which means that he's learned and he has very deep faith. So that's one definition of uttama adhikari. And the other definition of uttama adhikari is that he's actually has the highest attainment. In other words, he is a fully liberated soul. The responsibility is up to, you know, when you buy a car, especially if you're buying a second-hand car. I don't want to compare gurus to second-hand cars, but when you're buying a second-hand car, you better know something about cars. Just like if you go out here to Chonti, she needs the money. And they're all polished up. They look beautiful. I walk by them regularly and they look great. They look like brand new cars. You just have a tendency to get that car just because it shines. But that doesn't mean that the engine is running well just because it shines. You may be stranded in the middle of nowhere in a shiny car. Well, that's a foolish person. You have to know about the cars, or at least you need to take a mechanic along with you and see, is this really going to work, aside from the polish, and then they do the vacuuming inside and it smells nice. So it's the responsibility of a disciple. They should know what kind of adhikar, what kind of qualification does this guru have, at least as much as my ability is there. And of course the ability of the disciple is, that's why I say, well, you know, 6 months, well, better a year, that you actually, what, wait. But waiting doesn't make you anything. Just like, you know, I waited 2 years to get into university, and now I've become a genius. Even by waiting, you don't have to learn. You learn by studying. That's what the year is for, so that you know what it's about. It's not the shine that should be attracting you, but it should be actually my own understanding, and on the basis of my understanding, my hearing. Otherwise, one is not really a qualified disciple. You know, we accepted Srila Prabhupada by default. He was the default guru. He was the only guru. We may have not been qualified, but he was qualified. So Prabhupada said, I'm your qualification. So we just accepted Prabhupada's description. No one else is the guru. But now there's much more choice, and with internet, which never existed before, with internet, literally speaking, you can see and hear any one of your choice around the world. So anyway, the waiting period is for that, and all of these things are important. First, to understand these things in context, to know that such things exist. Because in devotional service, as we progress, we should know that certain things exist, although they're not necessarily for us. That's what qualification is. We're reading about a lot of things. We're reading about, I don't know, gopis and so on. We should know that such things exist. They may not be for us now, but they are for us when we become qualified. So same thing here, we should know that such a thing exists, and one should know exactly the conditions. And if we're in the very, very rare situation, then here's the example by Maharaj. Hundreds of examples in the Bhagavatam of disciples following the Guru, and there's one example of not. So it's a rare occasion. And then remember who Bali Maharaj is. He's really qualified to make that kind of decision. So, you know, not an ordinary person. Raghunath Das Goswami was not an ordinary person. Who else disobeyed the Guru? Could anyone think of?
Mentioned
Bhishma Dev Parashuram the other day. Bhishma Dev disobeyed Parashuram. Yeah, I mentioned that the other day. So what kind of Bhishma Dev is Bhishma Dev? So the examples there, and of course all the examples we read about are usually very exalted souls, because then we see how to do things perfectly, because we do things perfectly. But this is a Guru Tyag. And as I mentioned, there's this little book, Krishna Bhajanamrita. It's compared with the Krishna Bhavanamrita, Krishna Bhajanamrita. And then it says, all right, even if you see that the Guru is deviating, then the disciple, maybe with disciples, should approach him in a secluded place and very politely put before him, dear spiritual master, I don't understand why you're acting like this. This isn't according to scripture. Can you? In other words, you should not just immediately. And then it says, when he's irreconcilably corrupted. He's become a Mayavadi, which is worst guru. He's become a Mayavadi. He's just become so entangled in material affairs. And then even then he says you should just wait. See if he becomes rectified. It's such a serious thing. Here, all right, here's God saying one thing, and here's the Guru another, there's no time to wait. But otherwise, the process is that, all right, even if he's gone astray, say he's become entangled in sense gratification, he's become distracted by Menaka or Urvasi or whoever, but I should wait. Let's see, maybe he'll get his intelligence back. Out of respect for the things that he's done in the past and given in the past, because rejecting people is not part of Vedic culture, for instance. That's why no divorce in marriage. You make a commitment, you respect the institution of marriage as much as you respect the persons involved. So you don't divorce, not only just, well, we're not so compatible anyway, but there's the institution. And you have to respect that institution as well. So very often, and these are things that should be there, there's, you know, the senior devotee. Here it's not just that, but we have issues. All right, I'm a new devotee, and here's a initiated Brahmin, and he's telling me to do something that's wrong. We have to judge. Do I, you know, go to someone else to appeal? Is this the right thing to do? Or I accept it because I have respect. I have respect for Brahmins. I have respect for seniority. And maybe I have respect for this person because he's also done so much. So rejecting authorities is a very sort of rare thing. So Prabhupada would always say, you follow, and if you think that it's really the wrong thing, then you go to a higher authority to see. Because following is such an important thing. Otherwise we see in Kali Yuga, now it was, what was it? It was the spring revolution in the Arab world. Now there's another revolution, and it's the French Revolution, and it's the English Revolution and the American Revolution, the revolutions of Kali Yuga. You let people go and everyone will revolt. It's constantly revolutions. Because people don't really respect authority so much. It's still there, but not so much. If a parent slaps a child, the child can sue the parent. It's not respecting authority. Is he right? Is he wrong? Go to court. That's what we're wasting courts for. To determine whether a parent is right or wrong. So it's, and then, you know, you don't like the court decision, where do you go? To parliament, and that's what they're going to talk about in parliament. This kid got slapped. So you got other things to talk about. So ultimately, as they say, the buck has to stop somewhere. And so, anyway, that's another discussion. The following of authority and the not following of authority, the questioning of authority, that also comes up here. And in one sense, you could say this is the ultimate authority, guru. You got the king, you got the guru, so they're really high up there, and then the parents, Krishna conscious parents. they're also. So, I don't know what the quote is, but I've heard it a million times because so many parents with children I've told to come into Krishna consciousness. Indian parents have quoted to me about how the parents are as good as God. Yeah. And so, you're not as good as God. You don't even know who God is. But seems like there's scriptural statements to the effect the parents are also authority, especially the mother even more so than the father. So the position of authority is important, and the person who represents authority is important. And ultimately, everywhere down the line, someone is an authority, and someone represents authority. It's just a matter of how far down that goes. And that authority is Krishna. Because in a Krishna conscious society, Krishna is the one. So we have to be very careful, because then you're rejecting Krishna. Here, when Krishna is saying, then it's clear, okay, it's all right to do this. But it's a delicate topic, and devotee should see it in that perspective. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Sivaram Swami
Maharaj. Jai.